There was a Gurukul in ancient India. There were many such schools called Gurukuls, which were schools of education. They were usually on the banks of the river outside the village or outside the city and were run by monks and priests, learned people who were spiritual. And so students would go and live there for many years. It was a residential system. And they would go from the time they were little till the time they finished their education up to high school or even college, depending on their inclination, their interest. The interesting thing about these schools was that they not only learned subjects like math and grammar and language and science and so on, but they also learned spiritual subjects. There was a very strong emphasis on also teaching them spirituality. And so these group of 7 or 8 year old children go to the teacher. They were studying the Bhagavad Gita at that time, and they said, "Why are we studying this Bhagavad Gita? We spend an hour every day. We don't see any practical benefit. Okay, if I study science or grammar or mathematics or geography or history, I can go out and get a job. I can be successful in the world if I know economics, politics. But what is the value of studying this? We could be using that hour to study something more useful." So the teacher doesn't answer. He just keeps quiet. Few days later, in those days, they used to heat by fire, of course. They didn't have electricity and running water and all that. And so it was on the banks of the river. And they had this coal, which they used to put in the fire. And so there was this basket that used to keep all the coal in it. And it was black, obviously, because coal is black. And so every day they would put more coal in the fire for heating, for cooking, and so on. So that basket is very dirty. It's black. So he tells the students, 2-3 of them, he says, "I need some water. Can you go to the river and get some?" So they all hurry up, of course, because they want, you know, the teacher, guru is almost close to God or close to mother and father. So they say, yeah, we'll do it. So they look for a bucket. And he says, "I want you to take this basket, you know, the basket has holes in it, and fill water and bring it." Take basket and fill water and bring it. They think the guru maybe is getting old or senile or something wrong with him, but you know, they have faith because they live there and that is what they have been taught by their parents. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara. Guru is like God. You have to obey him 100%. So they say, okay. So they take the basket, go to the river, fill it up with water, and then come back. Obviously, all the water falls out. So the guru said, "What did you do? You didn't bring water?" "Sir, it all fell out." He said, "Okay, go back and run faster." Okay, so they all go there and they fill up put the basket in the water and they run. Still, by the time they get, it's empty. He says, "Who is the fastest girl and boy in the class?" So, you know, one boy and girl come. "Okay, now you two go." And so they go, they're 100-meter champions and 100-meter dash champions, and they fill up the bucket, basket, and run as fast. Still, he says, "You guys are not fast enough." But then he says, "Wait a minute. Now, what is the color of this basket? What was it before you took it?" They said, "Sir, it was black." "And what is it now?" He said, "It's clean. You know, you can see the basket, how clean and pure it is." He says, "That is the Bhagavad Gita. That is the value of studying the scriptures. You don't know that it is helping you. You think it is not. But just as when that basket was dipped in the water and you did it for another purpose, but in the end result was that the basket was pure. So similarly, studying the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures cleans your mind, purifies your mind. As you study it, you may not realize it. You may think, I'm in college, I need to study economics or business management or finance or fine arts. But as you study the spirituality, as you go along in your life, you will find that slowly, slowly your mind will become more pure, mind will become more clean, and will be filled with divine thoughts. And that is the value of, that's why, you know, we have even in the colleges now, I find that they do have an option of religious studies. The next one is a little bit repetition of what we have. Yo na hrishyati na dveshti. Na shochati na kankshati. Shubha shubha parityagi. Bhaktiman yassa me priyaha. So he says, he is devoted to me, who does not rejoice, does not hate, does not grieve, does not desire, gives up good and evil, and is devoted to me. So we say, doesn't make sense. I mean, he doesn't get happy for anything, he does not grieve, he does not desire. So you mean he's like a statue. You know, like a statue, we have these statues where we honor these great people. That's very good. And that is made of stone. But now what happens to the statue? One day you know, it's that person's birthday, whoever died. So you wash the statue and put a garland and honor the statue. Does the statue get happy? No, the statue remains the same. And then the next day the bird comes and sits on the statue and does what birds do. The statue remains the same, you know. So he says, you mean so we should be like a statue, that somebody comes and honors me, I should remain the same. Somebody comes and, you know, insults me. No. We are not saying that you be like a statue where you have no feelings and you have nothing to do and you just be like a stone. You know, somebody says, your mother died. Okay. And then the neighbors, you know, three children died. Okay. And then another person, you know, there's a child born. Okay. Not like that. It does not mean that when there is joy, I shouldn't be happy. Or when there is sorrow, I should not have sympathy and compassion. I must. A true devotee of the Lord, he sees the Lord in all. And if there is something happy happening, you know, he joins with them and says, okay, let's have fun. And if somewhere there is a funeral and some near friend of theirs, some you know, her mother died or something, and he goes and expresses sympathy and shares in their sorrow, because that is part of being a devotee of the Lord. But what they say, there's a very beautiful story. I have to tell this story. This is a masterful story, and that will kind of summarize what we are trying to teach. There was this monk, this saint, who used to live in a cave way up in the mountains, and there was a village down below, and a lot of the people knew about this monk who was a great teacher and had very knowledge, but he slept in that cave. He had his little, you know, small sheet there, little bed, he would just sleep there, and the people from the village would go up every morning and take some food for the monk, and he would eat. He would eat only one meal, and the rest of the time he spent in prayer, meditation. And if the people had any questions, they would ask him. He would advise them. He would talk to them. He was very knowledgeable, very brilliant. But he lived in simplicity. So one day, early in the morning, about 8-9 o'clock, one of the devotees went to take food for the saint. And he was sitting in the dark cave meditating. And he went up then. The sun had just risen. It was a beautiful spring day. The flowers were blooming. The birds were chirping and the soft wind was blowing. It was so pretty, you know, so beautiful. And he sees this monk, he's sitting in this dark cave, which is cold, which is damp. And he's so miserable. He must be so miserable. So he says, Maharaj, sir, you know, respectfully, says, please come out. See how beautiful the world is. Come outside. Bahar aaiye, dekhiye, duniya kitni sundar hai. I'll tell it in Hindi and then I'll translate. He says, come out, see how beautiful the world is. So the Mahatma from inside says, Shishya, andar aao, dunya aur bhi sundar hai. He says, come inside and you will realize the world is even more beautiful. So what did he mean by coming inside? Not coming into that cave, but come inside, go within. Because we look for, and it's not that the monk didn't appreciate the sun or the wind or the flowers. But once you have discovered that inner joy, and that's what everybody says, the joy is only within you. Outside, temporarily, you know, things can give you a little joy, give you a little comfort, but ultimately all external things are temporary. Once you find the inner joy, andarao, he says, go inside, and then you can deal with the world. If there is a happiness, he will rejoice. If there is something happening unhappy, he may even grieve. But he is not affected so much by while you and me, you know, if something good is happening, I'm on top of the world, I am the greatest. And then tomorrow somebody says something and then I become depressed and I start crying and this world is horrible and everybody hates me. And be like Jesus, even the people who were crucifying me, he even had love for them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So a true saint who has found the Father within, who has found the Father, the Lord within, then if the circumstances are beautiful, he'll say, okay, there is a beautiful scenery. But if it is not, he is still happy, like what we do. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's beautiful. And then second day I come out of the house, it's overcast. It is so terrible. My whole day is ruined. I have noticed that when it is overcast, you just look at the sky and pay attention and you feel so much silence. Actually, the overcast sky is beautiful to notice that silence. You just open your eyes and look at that sky, which, of course, the sun is beautiful. But when there are clouds, it's very different. It is very silent. It is really beautiful. An overcast day is a beautiful day. So the point of the matter is that once you discover that, not that I have discovered, I don't mean that, not at all. But what I'm saying is these great saints, then they see that in the world there will be joys and sorrows will be there. And somebody will hate me and somebody will love me. But I am not going to let the world push me up and down. They say be like a lighthouse. Don't be like a log of wood. What happens? A log of wood, a wave comes, it goes up and then down and up and down. But a lighthouse stays firm, and no matter what kind of waves come, the lighthouse does not go up and down. In fact, the lighthouse becomes a source of guidance to all the ships to bring them safely. So we are like that log of wood. One day we are up and one day we are down, and the world can push me around and push me up and push me down. But be like that saint, be like Jesus, be like Buddha, where you are firm no matter what the world does, and they become source of guidance for the rest of us. So that is what they say, that good and evil are again based on my vasanas, you know, good and evil, auspicious and inauspicious. They are based on my desires, so if something is conducive to my desires, to my ego, I wanted it to happen. I wanted it and it happened. I am happy. But if my vasana, something didn't happen, like two people sitting on a park bench and they're both enjoying, you know, the park. It's so beautiful. And then one guy takes out a cigarette and starts tapping it on the box. And he lights it. Now he's so happy, you know why? Because he got the cigarette. He was and the other person, like that. He said he ruined my whole day. Why? Because I was enjoying the park. So for that same cigarette, the one who was enjoying, he got the joy out of it, and the one who hates it got the sorrow. So that's what they're saying. Everything is happening according to your desires, but remain centered on the self, on the highest. And remain devoted to the Lord and always remember the Lord. And remember that good and evil are always there. They will always be there. People will act according to their tendencies. But I should not get myself disturbed. I should not be a slave of my vasanas. I should not be a slave of my tendencies. I should work with that right understanding, with that divinity. Then such a person is truly a devotee of the Lord, is devoted to me. So that is what this knowledge is. That means that I still have sympathy and compassion for people who are hurting, but I do not let my inner equilibrium get disturbed. Otherwise, people get so caught up in their joys and sorrows that their mind is just disturbed all the time. Happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy. So be happiness, where I do not depend on the world to give me little joys. I am a source of joy for myself, and I become a source of joy for everybody else around me. So that is the essence of this verse. Of course, we can talk a little more about it, but it is a lot of the ideas were already covered in the previous verse. So I didn't go. Any comments? How about the students? Yes, that's a very good question. Thank you. Yeah, definitely, we all are born with certain tendencies, mixture of good and bad. And so through regular knowledge of spirituality, we do change our tendencies. That's what the difference between us and the saint is. Because the saint has overcome all their negative tendencies and becomes spontaneously a source of love and compassion for all. You and I are still have a lot of positive and negative tendencies, but as you evolve spiritually, you're like in the prayer of Saint Francis, "Oh Father, where there is anger, let me sow love, and where there is hatred, let me have compassion," and all. So the goal of spiritual progress is to slowly evolve from negative tendencies to positive tendencies, from negative vasanas to positive vasanas, and ultimately to go beyond, where not even the desire to serve is no longer there. Even the service comes spontaneously without any desire to help, or with desire that I should help these people and not help these people. Spontaneously, I love all. But yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah.